Morning, church. I hope you had a great weekend. I know I did because it was beautiful and I got to be out and play around in the beauty, feel that sunshine. It was wonderful weekend for me. I'm ready for spring. I don't know about you. I'm ready for spring. Anybody else? Anybody want another weather of snow? Anybody looking forward to snow? Okay, you got to leave. I'm just kidding. I would never do that, all right? I know for me, I'm excited for the opportunity to just be outside and to see people and actually get here and be here with you guys and take you to lunch and get to know you guys. That's, I think that's more of being a pastor than this moment up here, all right? So if there's ever a moment that you're like, hey, I'm bored, I could use a free meal, contact me. All right? I think I heard one. Jeff, all right, next week. All right? Seriously, I love that stuff. I think that's what we're called as a church to do, be engaging with each other, loving on each other, hearing each other's stories, taking each other out to eat, breaking bread. At the center of all that, God is there, right? One of the things that I love about Scripture is he affirms many things that pertain to this, right? Matthew 18:20 says this. He says, "For there, where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them." Let me reread that again, all right? Because think about that in this moment. For where two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them. Amen. Right? If we're gathering in his name this morning, God is here, right? Okay, so last week, I learned something as a pastor. What you say can come back and haunt you, or it can give you a treat. I brought this up here for a reason. Somebody left me Canada Dry in my office. Love it. Now it makes me think, okay, I got to be careful what I say up here. Like, I don't love elephants. Don't drop an elephant in my office. It'd be kind of weird, right? But I love ginger ale, I love candy, all those things, but I'm not expecting it, all right? But I'm aware, ginger ale, and it made me think about this week, too, another story with planes. Yeah, I'm going to tell another story. The first week of We Are Church, we talked about not being an address, not being a place, but being a movement, if you remember, right? And then last week, we talked about the desire of a church is to disciple. And to go out and disciple and be discipled. And that's a calling on us. Like, we don't get to back out of that. We don't get to relax here in this moment and go, okay, feed me, feed me. No, we are called as a church to disciple people and be discipled. And we talked about that last week, right? This week, we're going to talk about if this is sacred or not. If this moment is sacred and what makes this a sacred moment, right, as a church. What is sacred? And as I moved through, I thought about a plane and really the first commercial planes and what it looked like. And I looked that up, and I should have put a picture up, but I didn't. The first commercial planes had wicker chairs in them for people to sit in. Can you imagine that? No seat belts, no service. They just sat in a wicker chair, and the pilot actually had an open cockpit. So, like, he didn't have anything over his head. So he could have jumped any time, and people, it was still closed off. They wouldn't have known that he jumped. Like, that's where my head goes, right? I know something's wrong up there. Pass today, would it? Right? But I also think of those people that first flew that plane, what they thought. Are we going to make it? Getting into this plane that was probably not built the same way that it's built today. It's not the most secure. They didn't have the safety things that we have today. You didn't have the exits or the stewardess telling you, okay, this is where you need to go if the plane's going down, which I've flown the plane a lot. I still don't understand why we even have seat belts, to tell you the truth, because if we're going down, I don't know what those seat belts are going to do for you. Just my thought. It's, again, where I go. But you're in these wicker chairs, and you're thinking to yourself, am I going, like, this is the first couple of flights, and we're getting off ground, and To me, you're in awe. You're surprised. I can't believe this metal tube, this giant bus-looking thing is up in the air and it's actually flying. And we're going. And we're not just going, we're going to get to where I want to go. That's amazing. But we don't live in that amazement. We get on a plane now and we expect to get from point A, and when we actually get frustrated too when we're spending an hour on the tarmac or 30 minutes or our flight gets delayed. We get annoyed if we don't get the service we want. We get annoyed that it costs us money. We get annoyed, don't we? We get very critical. We go in with a critical eye, and we have forgotten the awe of the wonderment of being able to fly through 30,000 feet above and actually land and make it, and we're safe, and we get to another destination that didn't take us days to get to. And I want to kind of compare that to how we've done church. Early church with Jesus was awe and wonder with his disciples. They saw miracles after miracles after miracles. And there were many times they still questioned, is Jesus the Messiah? I mean, I've seen him walk on water. In fact, Peter got to walk on water for a few seconds. Right? You remember that story? He got to walk on water. Can you imagine that? That's holy water right there. And God, the burning bush with Moses. What happened there with God? He told Moses, hey, we're having a moment here. It's just me and you right now. Guess what I need you to do? Take your shoes off, because this is a holy ground that you're standing on. It's sacred. Now, he walked away. I don't think that bush is still on fire. Nobody has found it since then, right? Be crazy if it was, the eternal flame of a bush and just being up on flames and just amazing, and nobody's ever noticed it ever since. But what made that holy in that moment? God did. Meeting Moses in that moment, Jesus on the water walking towards him. What made that a holy moment for Peter to walk out on water and defy all gravity? Jesus did. Many times we as a church, we get our focus on the wrong things. We look at this morning as something that I need to walk away with something. I've done this sermon before with teens, and I would never do that here. I don't think it would be good, but I've stood on an altar just to see what they would do. Right? And it seems disrespectful, but the moment that this altar has become an altar that is sacred is the moment God has met there. This is just wood. This is just building. This is materials. You know what God says about this? He says this about in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. I don't hear a structure. What I hear is you are God's temple. Now, here's some warnings in that. Let's go back. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? Okay, that's such an awesome thing, church. You are God's temple. You. Not an address, not a place. You. So you are responsible for what God has given you. Your temple. Right? And we together, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. So we show up here this morning, this Sunday morning, this March, or not March, I'm sorry, I'm ahead of myself, February 28th, am I right? Check me, February 28th. We come together in this moment. In this moment, right now, if God is here, and we are all in agreement of that, it is sacred. It should be one of those moments that we live in awe. It should be of shock, and it should be one of those things that we walk in this kind of afraid. Because guess who's here? The master, the creator, the one that can do anything and is not bound by us, but loves us. I don't have it up here, but I believe it's Paul. He talks about working out our faith with fear and trembling. We should walk in here in this moment as we are together in a moment that we realize I can have an encounter with God. And some of us, that should stir up some emotions. Some of us, that should stir up a moment where we're like, I know. I don't know if I can be in the presence of God right now. I don't know if God could love this right now. I have not treated this as his temple. The cool thing, if you remember four weeks ago, we talked about grace. Grace is so sufficient, right? The moment that we walk into this, God has already forgiven us. God is there working on us. God is loving us besides what we do to this temple. But there is a warning here, right? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. Okay, let's rethink this again. What is that temple today? What is that temple that he's saying right now? It's you. And it's us being together in this moment. We have to be careful what we say. And this was a very tough sermon in prepping because I have been critical through my life of seeing where the church has gone, what we've made decisions, how we've lived as a church, and I have been critical of that. And I felt convicted as I was writing this, as God was working on me, as I was preparing this, and there was moments I thought, we'll scrap this and go some other way because it's too much, God. We have to be careful that we are treating it like we are as passengers on a plane expecting our service that we just paid for. We cannot walk in this moment. We cannot sit in this moment. We cannot worship in this moment with a critical eye. We need to come here with a heart of awe. We need to come here with a heart that's ready to know that God is here and God is good, and God is amazing, and this is why we're here, and he loves his temple, and he loves his body that he brings together. You want to know how much he loves you guys? Let's see. See if this is the one. Ephesians 2:19-22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but followers of Christ, fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. Built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and raises to become holy temple in the Lord. It is in Jesus that we are built. Think about that. What did it take for Jesus to be the cornerstone of this? And I challenge you to study this. I challenge you to look up the New Testament, read the Gospels, read each gospel. Find out how much it cost Jesus to be the cornerstone of this temple today. That sits on this corner. That lives in your neighborhoods. How much he loves you. Even though you've thrown stones. Even though you've talked trash about him. Even though you've been critical of the church that he loves. He loves you and invites you into this. This is, if you look at this happens, 52 times a year, right? We come together on a Sunday morning 52 times. All over our nation, all over this world, this happens. And we're not just this group that is meeting this morning. I get the honor and pleasure to be up here. I get to be your pastor, and I think that's a blessing. This is awesome. I'm overwhelmed with that. I'm excited about it. And you can throw all the criticism on me. That's okay. Sort of. But when we look at our church as a whole, and we unify under Jesus Christ, the world will see that and be changed. And I'm so convicted by that. Because we're not seeing a world changed. Because I see churches not unifying under Jesus Christ, but being critical about the silliest things. About things that don't matter in the eternity. Church, Jesus Christ is why we're here this morning. He lived and breathed as one of us. He was there during creation. He loves us so much that he died on a cross for us. Defeated that death and was raised. And we believe that. And we come in this moment and we should live in that moment of going, I'm almost too overwhelmed to speak. At the same going, woo! I've been with teenagers, a youth ministry for 20 years, and I've done a couple trips, and some of those trips required us to fly. And I promise you, I'm not going to say any more things about planes in the future, probably. I don't know. I'm not a plane expert, but it's just where I've gone with this. And one of the things that's always embarrassing a little bit is when we land, what do? It's teenagers. They scream and holler, and we're not the only ones in this plane. Like, they land, they're like, oh, yes, woo! We're at where we're going. And when we get home, it's more like, hey, wake up, when they're on the way home, right? But it's on the way. They're excited because it's new and exciting, and they land, and people are like, what's wrong with this group? What are they doing? And guess what? We get to tell them, hey, we're going to El Salvador, and we're going to go and minister to these people, and we're going to go love on them. And they've called. I took 27 people to El Salvador, but the people that I think we affected the most were on the planes that they asked these questions to these teens. And these teens were so excited about what was going to happen, how they were going to meet God there and be God's body there. Can you imagine that excitement if we got our teens excited about going to school with that mentality? If we had our people in this church that were going to work with that mentality that they were going to meet God at work. And they were excited about that. Like, you intentionally, I'm not promoting the bus system. My wife works for them. I'm not promoting. But if you intentionally just decided, hey, I'm not going to drive today. I'm going to ride on a bus so I can meet God on the bus. See, church, we are called to be intentional. And in that intentionality, there is the sacred moments. It is not the stuff that makes it sacred. It is Christ and us coming together that makes it sacred. Now, what is sacred? Sacred is meaning set apart. To make holy. And holy means to be other. Crazy terminologies, right? Guess what? Other means everything except for what I am right in this moment. And my sinful nature means everything that I am is God's. And he makes me holy. And he makes you holy. And he makes these sacred moments. I've had moments in my car ride with my son and with my daughter and with my wife that have been sacred moments. And I will tell you, in those moments, it wasn't that I was prepared in my heart to go, okay, God, move in this way. I've been praying for these moments. I had to be intentional too. God's already intentional with us. But he doesn't force a relationship. So I have to be intentional in the moment that I come to realize the awe and wonder that I'm stepping in. I've had those moments in my life. I've had it with Dalton Davis. Okay, this is odd. Former teen of mine in California. Don't go looking him up on Facebook, please. But I love him to death. He's a brother, and he would say he's not saved. But God is working on him. He's not ready to give his life up to God. He's still ready to party. but he knows. I didn't get to be a part of this. This is later on in his life. He spoke to a youth group, and it was amazing. He wasn't saved, but he goes, I know God. I'm just not ready to accept God, and I'm going to show you what life can look like when you don't accept God. One of those times that I was with him, that was a sacred moment, I was driving him to jail with his dad. And he is addicted to drugs. He was addicted to stuff that was just not healthy. He knew it. And he's just not ready to give it up for God. But that was a sacred moment. And I could have been intentionally about Ben Alexander in that moment. And just been like, okay, I got a call up from his dad at like 10 p.m. I was ready to go to bed, right? I'm having to go over to the Davis household, ride with dad so he doesn't kill Dalton. And I get to hear the story of what happened to Dalton. Why are we going to the jail that morning, that night, right? And I can be like, Dalton, you are an idiot. Your dad should beat you right now. Now dad's a cop. So it's even more to the story, right? There's some embarrassment there. But luckily, I have been praying. Luckily, I didn't speak out of term, and God used that moment. And God, I just said, Dalton, God loves you, man. Right where you're at. Right where you're at. God loves you. And I caught off his dad. He was like, ah, wait a minute. Doesn't he need to clean up first? No. God loves him right there. It was a sacred moment. Church, we need to be seeking out these moments with God. And what I have a feeling that we have a tendency to do is not seek those moments out, but seek out the moments that were more critical about how we're doing church and how we live as a church and how so-and-so lives as a follower of God. And I'm one to blame. It's easy to look and go, that hypocrite. And the reality is God comes along and says, man, if you bring one of these down, if you say something negative about my temple, about my church, I'll destroy you. That's strong words right there. He doesn't play around, right? So we have that going on. Ephesians 3, 8 through 10. Although I am less than the least of these people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles boundless riches of Christ. And make a plain to everyone the administration of those mysteries, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities of these heavenly realms. This is what I want to focus on here, church. If we live and seek out the sacred moments of God, guess what we always provide? Wisdom. And half our world that we live in needs wisdom. Look at them. They do stupid things. Our world lives in a world of not knowing God's grace, not knowing God's love, not knowing how God has designed us, right? So how are they supposed to live? Without expecting God to rule over them, how are they supposed to live? They don't know. And when we're unified as a body, we can reach out to these people and show them the wisdom, the grace, the peace that God offers. We don't go flipping off our lid about something that we're peaceful about in that moment. We react the way that is holy and sacred because we are living in that moment that is holy and sacred with God. Think about the critical times, the times that you have been critical. Maybe about a boss, maybe about work, maybe about life in general, having to pay taxes. Just critical at home about your significant other. Good luck to you. But I want you to know some things that are happening, especially if you have kids. If I'm sitting at home and I'm telling my wife how I really think about her in that moment, and my kids can hear that, they live and take that in. If my boss knows that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but I don't have any kind of other showings for it, that I'm a horrible employee, that I'm critical of them, that I come at them and gossip and participate in things that are not holy, I'm not living the sacredness out of God. I'm not found in that moment with God. I'm not living in where God wants me to be, and I'm bringing the temple down. You are called to be more, and it's only through God that we can do this, right? Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Okay, so this is Paul talking about marriage. But I wanted to give some examples of what, I'm not going to talk about marriage, but I'm going to talk about how Christ is the example in this, all right, and how church is used in this, all right? So who submits to Christ? Come on, who submits to Christ? We do. What does that look like to submit to Christ? Does it look like what we're doing today? Think about that. As we come and we worship, I wonder if some of us even had a critical moment of like, I didn't like that song. Now, I'm not setting it up where you cannot be critical of like how we sing or what song choices. You can have your preferences. That's okay. But it cannot stand in the way, in the face of how we worship together. You can be critical. I want you to be like testing what I'm saying. I want you to be reading. I want you to go, hey, Ben, have you thought about that? I honestly do. I want you to question it. I'd rather you go back home, read everything that was out there and say, Ben, did you think about this? Because honestly, that means you are feeding your heart and your soul with God's word, with his spirit, and you're not banking on the person that stands up here to run your spiritual walk. Because once you do, that becomes very critical of this person that's up here. And I'm going to fail you. I'm going to fail you. I know I am. I'm going to miss an appointment with you someday. I'm not prepping for that. Don't. But I want you to understand, I'm as human as you are. I love God. God has put a call on my heart. I want to make sure I follow it. But that call doesn't mean you bank your salvation on me. In the years of my ministry, I've seen pastors fail and people walk away from faith because they banked all their salvation on that pastor, which was weak and feeble. Salvation is based on one thing, Jesus Christ. And we follow him together, church. And we are unified in that. All right? But we submit to Christ. And guess what? Some of the things he calls us to do. We talked about last week. If you're not finding somebody to disciple, if you're not being discipled, are you submitting? These are strong words because it comes with actions. It cannot just sit still and it cannot be comfortable. It cannot be moments where like, hey, that was a great sermon and I want to do it, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to sit and watch TV now for the full week. And I'm going to go to work and I'm just going to get my paycheck and there's no purpose in that. If we submit to Christ, that is our purpose. To love Christ with all our heart, mind, and soul and to love our neighbor the same. We have to be intentional with that. Husbands, you're not off the hook. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Again, I'm not a sermon about wives and husbands. This is about the church and what Christ did for the church. Jesus Christ gave his life up for you to be able to be here this morning, to meet together, to be able to worship in him. And it doesn't matter what government we live under. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if we had 3 songs in the morning. It doesn't matter if we prayed correctly. It doesn't matter those things. It matters if we meet with Christ. If you look at early church, they didn't have the same format that we have. And they didn't bank on the same format that we have. Think about that. The things that we think make church up are just stuff. The thing that makes this church sacred is Jesus Christ. Are you willing to submit to him? And when I say submit, it's not just one of those moments of like, this morning, yeah. It doesn't mean, you know, when it feels good and right, I will. The hardest times is when everything's falling around you and you want to submit. And God says, okay, listen, I know everything's crumbling around you, but you need to go in love and give more. But God, what about me? I've been on this tarmac for 3 hours. I'm ready to go. Come on, let's go. Well, I'm waiting for this person to come and sit next to you because they need the message. And you, I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're super young or super old. That call is on your life. The moment that you accept Jesus Christ in your life, you are part of this church body, whether you know it or not. You cannot escape it. We build each other up. We disciple each other, and we go out and share that message. That's what you're called to do. We don't play church. We don't. That's not what we do. We don't come here to get the warm and fuzzies. We don't. It's not an emotional thing. It's part of our emotions. It's part of who we are. He's created us in this image, and we have emotions, but it's just not just that. There's wisdom. There's knowledge. There's this friendship. There's this building us up, and we are becoming a foundation that's built on other foundations of saints before us. That's so cool. And there's saints beyond us, and we're a part of it. But we're called to do our part. And I think churches, and I'm not trying to be critical, hear me, I think we've gotten too comfortable in our spiritual walk with God. We've become too dependent on the person that stands up here. And the frailty that is within this, I am just a human, and my pastor was just a human, and the people that were before you were just humans. And if you bank your thought process of what church is and the success of church on a person that stands up here, it's not healthy or wise. I look out here, and I've already seen it. I've seen people care about others that are in this building itself. I've heard prayer requests for others that even the people being prayed for don't know that they're being prayed for. And it's not like, oh, please save them. It's, oh, they're breaking apart and they need God. And there's this thing in their life. Who knows what's going to happen? And we just pray for God to move. That's what's being a church right there in that moment. We carry each other's burdens. But in those moments that we act, guess what makes that sacred? I guess what I'm trying to say to you this morning is don't look at the things that we build as sacred, but look at the things in which God has created in us and those moments that we encounter with him as sacred. That's what we need to be looking for. That's what we should walk in this moment and be overwhelmed by God. When we sing, it doesn't matter what you sound like. If you're singing to God, it needs to be from your guts. It needs to be heard. It needs to be just yelled out if it needs to be yelled out. If you're praying, it needs to be truly known that, God, I believe you and I need this. God, I want you. If you lead me, I will follow. But if we walk out of here and we miss the boat, if we go, that sermon was, I give it 5 stars. Or I'm out of 10. 5 out of 5. Maybe it's 10, I don't know. We walk out of here going, man, they could have done it better, or we're getting out late, or we're getting out early. We've missed it. We've missed it. Because really what we do when we come together is be in the presence of Jesus Christ, who loves us so much. That's why we're here this morning. when we get that and we go out together, we come together too to go, hey, this is where I'm struggling. You see, early on, church, they broke bread and they sat around a table and they didn't play this game of like, hey, we're just fine. They sat around the table and go, I'm not being a good father. I'm not being a good husband right now. I come home and I'm angry. And I can't find where that's at. Or I've led this party life. I've led this two lives that just don't coexist. I want to be what God has called me to be, but I'm living this other life that I'm not ready to give up. And they sat around a table and they said, okay, let's work this out. Let's talk about this. Let's pray for each other. Let's carry each other's burdens. Let's honestly be involved with each other. And we are not called to be isolated islands of spiritual, just me and God. Show me that in Scripture and I'll go, okay, you preach that. Because this is here. But the moment that we accept this, us and God, He goes, you need this. So my question for you this morning is who's not here that you know needs to be here with us? Who hasn't been here because they can't be here because of COVID that I need to reach out to? And it's not about politics. It's not about how we believe how it should be handled as COVID or not COVID or any of that jazz. It's about the person and God and loving them right where they're at. That's what it's about. We have too many things in this world that divide us. Christ comes to unify us. That's what I pray for this morning. That's what makes this sacred in this morning. And so when we come together, I'm feeling it right now. There should be goosebumps. There should be these moments that we go, God is here, and I'm overwhelmed by His presence, and He's moving, and I want that. To be honest, that's what the world is looking for. They want to see genuine believers following Jesus Christ, even if they test you, that you respond with love, grace, mercy, kindness. You respond with 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't know it, look it up, because that's what He calls you to be. Church, I love you. I'm getting to know you. I'm excited to be your pastor. But I'm more excited what God is going to do with us. I'm more excited about having more sacred moments with you and God. That's what I'm more excited about. I'm excited about how God's going to move in Springfield and the surrounding areas that you live. Because I believe, once we believe as a body of believers, that God will move. And He will use every single one of you that are in Him if you meet Him in those sacred moments. Stand with me. Let's pray. Lord, we stand in Your presence. We are overwhelmed, I pray. I pray this morning that we realize that You are here and that we met because of You. Lord, I pray that You help us be the church that You've called us to be and that You're patient with us and that You love us as we stumble along. Lord, I pray that we don't turn anybody away and I pray that we don't cast any stones at each other. Lord, I pray we seek out the sacred moments with You. That we seek out the burning bushes, that we seek out the opportunities to walk on water, that we seek out the moments that will defy and bring Your mystery back on this world. Lord, I pray that Your message was spoken. I pray that You were heard this morning. And I pray as a body that we come and we are unified under You, Jesus. And that we are ready to go out into this world and show them that unity. that we're ready to go and be what you've called us to be. Lord, as we leave this morning, I pray we take you with us. I pray that we are already thinking about the moments in our lives that we need you to be with us, with our families, with our bosses, with our coworkers, with those at school, our friends, those moments that need to have a sacred time. I pray that we're already engaging and asking you, Lord, please, how do I join you in a moment with my friend? How can I have a sacred moment this week? I pray that we seek that out. Lord, I pray that you teach us how to be the church where we need to share our hurts, our failures, our joys, our celebrations, that we come together at the dinner table and break bread and drink the drinks, dear Lord, and know that you are our master and we submit to you. And we share the areas that we struggle at submitting, and we share the areas that we are successful, and we lift each other up, Lord. Teach us to be your church. Help us with our critical eye and soften our hearts so we can be embraced by you this morning. We love you, Lord. May we go in your name. Amen.